It is the Old Testament version of Do This in Remembrance of Me. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're back in Exodus as we focus in on what is going to be our final installment in our series, The Ten Plagues. Plagues, Part 13, Lest We Forget. It is a call by God Himself to remember the Passover and why. Not only that, but as we'll see tomorrow, how to pass it on to our children. It's all part of our series in Exodus. Won't you join us? Again, with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio, let's catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon in Exodus chapter 12. Here's Chris.
And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it. But every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired servant may eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, and on that very day the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and a beast, is mine. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No unleavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? Shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand, or frontlets between your eyes. For by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. How joyful they must have been, finally, after 400 years, to leave Egypt, to leave that place. We can only imagine the excitement on that day from that trip from Ramesses to Succoth. Probably 2 million strong plus are heading out of Egypt. The emotions must have run really high that day. Can you imagine? You're all on foot. You're walking out for the last time. You're passing by all the monuments you built for that tyrant. All your ancestors had built for the past 400 years in thick slavery. It's over. The mightiest nation on earth, the Lord had just pummeled. Ramesses, the city of great Pharaoh and all of its splendor and glory, all of this has been laid waste by the God of the Hebrews. Imagine the experience. You're the generation to see it. You're the generation. I think at moments like that, the energy and the excitement and the joy, the enthusiasm must have been at an all-time high. You're totally renewed. You're set free. Brand new beginning, the Lord said for you. It's a brand new beginning. This is how I want you to regard it. You're set free from slavery. It's over. We can imagine what, only imagine what it must have felt like for that generation to leave. The high of that. Well, we have the vantage point of looking and knowing what's about to happen, don't we? We know the history of Israel. We know what is about to unfold. And two awful things were about to happen that would span the history of Israel. Two things that were tragic in Israel's history. And the Bible would continually use this phrase over and over to describe it. And it goes like this: and they forgot the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They forgot his wonderful works and ways to them. The Psalms capture this everywhere. Future generations would forget. Isn't that a tragedy? And then they would forget about his power to help them. They were always running to other nations for help. They were always running to other leaders for help. How could they have forgotten this? They're going to go out into the wilderness and they're going to face hunger and thirst. They're going to have struggle. This is the wilderness life. It's not easy. They're being taught dependence upon the Lord. Do you know in the very next chapter what happens? The very next chapter, first scene. What have you done, Moses, to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you when we were in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You have got to be kidding me. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians. And you say, what in the world? How could you? Your God just did all this for you. You just saw put on display his power, and the first sign of conflict, you fall apart and say that? Had they forgotten all that the Lord had done for them? Already, scene one, they had already forgotten all of his deliverance, all of his power, all of his plagues, all the mighty acts of love, all of it was forgotten. I hope that helped you understand a bit of what is going on today. That'll really help you with today, because what God is doing in the passage that I just read is putting certain things in place to help them so that future generations would never forget all the wonderful acts of the Lord for them. They would never forget his deliverance, his love. That they would continually teach the next generation these things. That goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. We're going home. You'll see how important this section is for wilderness life as they are about to begin. I struggled to break this down. This was a challenging section to really break down to be helpful for you. As I looked at this and stepped back from it, looking at it a little bit higher from the clouds, I thought there are two major things that the Lord is saying to Israel through this as they begin their journey. He was putting certain things in place so that they would remember what God did for them in making them his separate people, and that they would pass this faith on to their children. Those are the two things. Be separate, pass your faith. That's what I come up with from this. Be separate, pass your faith. That should encourage us, because the responsibilities are no different for us. As we enter wilderness life, as we've been saved by the blood of Christ, as we have a new beginning in him, the Lord is telling you how to go forward right here. And this is beautifully laid out for us. Let's start with the first major section here. It's going to be a little more challenging than you thought when I say be separate, because it's the thing we rail against to this day. Look at verses 43 out of 52. You begin here the Passover instructions, but they're a little bit different now. Something is added now. Something is different about these Passover instructions, and the emphasis now is all driven by their new identity. Notice the emphasis. I want everyone to look actually verse 47 there. In verse 47, as he's instructing on the Passover, he says something new. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. all the congregation. You're no longer thinking separately. I'm not letting you. That's over. You did that in Egyptian life, not anymore. He's referring them, and we haven't seen this word very much in the scriptures yet. He is using the word congregation now. He referred to them distinctively as his congregation. Notice that the Lord is so openly using that the moment they're delivered, the moment they've been brought out. They're his flock. That they have just been bought by the blood of the Lamb. And they were now, always in future generations, to have this Passover feast, and they were to celebrate it, all of them. Nobody had the prerogative to say, I'm not going to that today. They were all to celebrate this together. All of them. What do you have here? The church. Our Belgic is so beautiful on this, as it's reminded us over and over, we believe this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, outside of which there's no salvation. It's an assembly. It's a bought people. It's a purchased people. God saved the community. God pulled them out collectively. And this feast now, this feast was always to be a reminder of who they were. This feast was always to be a reminder of their identity. This feast was always to help them to remember they are a purchased flock. Now, they didn't realize how much they needed that. He didn't want them to forget who they are. What a privilege. But there was something in celebrating the Passover in verse 43, that mattered a lot to the Lord. Did you catch it? Moses and Aaron, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it. In fact, if you were to go through this, you see a whole bunch of different types of people that had come out with them. He mentions that a mixed multitude went up with them. In 400 years, we have that some of the Israelites had married Egyptians. They had come out too. He mentions slaves. He mentions sojourners. He mentions hired workers. There were a bunch of Egyptians who saw what happened to their country, and they said, we are out of here. We're going on for the ride. This is going to be one exciting ride if this God's in front of them. They got on the bandwagon and they wanted out of that pummeled nation. So there were a bunch of foreigners, as the Bible designates them, in the camp who would travel along with Israel. We would later see some problems with this. But they were heading out, and we didn't know their ultimate intention. Some would probably intended on separating out into the land of Canaan. But the question arose, well, what do we do about the Passover with all of these people? There must have been a significant number that were there. Can they partake? And the answer from the Lord is no. They can't. The Lord said no. And the question is why? Why did the Lord say no? You can appreciate this, can't you? What just happened? Something terrible and something wonderful. A terrible judgment had just happened as the angel of death went out into all of Egypt. And he inspected door frames, and he looked for blood on the door frames. And if there was no blood on the door frames, he entered the house and he struck down the firstborn. But if there was blood put up, which was the blood of the Passover lamb, as they ate that lamb and celebrated the Passover, if it was put up on the doors of the houses, intending faith, the angel passed over. Israel deserved death too. But God loved them. God passed over their houses. So the blood of the lamb was the substitute. That was quite a thing God did. And you see, what we have in Exodus is God telling his gospel story that he's already been telling from Genesis chapter 3 when he had shed blood for Adam and covered him. And he was telling this story, as it was beginning to unfold, that Israel was a part of this story, that Israel was in this story, that the Lamb of God in the future, anticipating the future, the Lamb of God would come and he would suffer and die on the cross for us so that we would never have to face judgment. I mean, there's your gospel. The Passover celebrated God's sacrificial love in the cross of Christ, looking forward. The feast was a special gift to commune. And that's emphasized here. I'll come back to that. To be fed, to be helped, to always consider the wonderful things that the Lord had done for them. This feast is the most special gift, right? That God gave. No one else received that kind of treatment. No other nation in the earth. No other peoples. The Lord had been wonderful to them. Oh, the Lord had been so good to them. The Lord had been just overwhelming. He did all of this for them. And what was he after? He wanted a commitment from them to be a part of his family. To become part of his people. And so he's telling them, I've done this for you. You are my congregation. You are my people. God had always taught them to be separate. How did one enter this family? This wasn't the first entrance sign, was it? This was a renewal kind of sign. The entrance sign was circumcision. God had told Abraham years ago in the covenant of grace, I want you to put this sign, this blood sign, on you and your children, because I'm doing a marvelous act of redemption, and it signifies the cutting away of your sin, and I'm including you and your children, and you watch, they're going to go down to Egypt, and I'm going to put on display my salvation plan, and you'll, Abraham, they will come out and receive it. That was the sign of entrance into this covenant family. That was the sign of entrance into this. So what does the Lord say about all these travelers with Israel? If they want to partake, God says they need to enter the family. They need to believe the gospel. They need to be circumcised. You see that there, that the Lord says it so explicitly. If verse 48, if a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. There's no more distinction. He's not the latecomer. He is to be treated like everyone else. What a wonderful thing. You see what the Lord was after? Commitment to the family, to become members of the body. He wanted them to join the body. Now, I think if you had walked up to all those foreigners and said, do you believe in the God of Israel? Do you think any of them would have said no? They had just watched him pummel Egypt. They had just watched Yahweh display his power. They had just seen the God of Israel do wonders no other God could do. Everyone would have said, well, of course we believe in Yahweh. Pharaoh believed in Yahweh. Do you know what this would sound like today? Don't question my faith. I believe. I want to partake, but don't you dare stand back as the church and judge me. I don't have to be a member of any church. I am the church. Oh man, I hear that all the time. I've heard that more times than I ever care to in the course of my 12 years of pastoring. I am the church. Don't tell me that. And no commitment was ever made. I have no idea where that person stood. So the Lord said, Israel, I want you to tell them no. No. That is so crucial for us today. We need to understand this. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, think about that. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed and was celebrating the Passover, you remember that week as they were all preparing and celebrating. Remember the Lord in the midst of that instituted the supper, and he gave the supper to the fulfillment in the new covenant community. This is the new covenant in my blood, blood of the Lamb. You know, he said the same thing. Take, eat, all of you, together. This is what we went through in Corinth. They were doing it all hodgepodge, together. Because if anyone tramples this underfoot, they can eat and drink judgment on themselves. Entrance into the family is not circumcision. Entrance into the family is what? Baptism. We don't need a bloody sign. We need a water sign. You know, the church today has all these same people. We have mixed marriages. We have travelers who come by all the time. We have temporary resident aliens, if you will. We have passers-by. We have a bunch of people in and out of church, in and out, in and out. I mean, we are like In-N-Out Burger here. In and out. Almost all that come in here say they believe in God. I've rarely had anyone come in here or in my previous charge and say, I don't believe. Here's the problem. It's epidemic. We live in a day where the people of our day are absolutely unwilling to make any commitment to Jesus at all. None. Besides whatever they want to do. Jesus had all sorts of attendees following him. Do you remember that? All these people constantly following him all the time and never making the commitment. And there were constant conflicts with Jesus getting in their face about this and saying, listen, you really want to follow me? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Are you sure? You sure you want to really count that cost? Do you know what it might require? He called people to make the decision, get on the horse or get off. Don't sit in the middle.
Reasons to remember the Passover, lest we forget, out of Exodus chapter 12 here today. Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time together today found in Exodus, our series called The Plagues. To obtain a copy of today's program or the entire set, we would invite you to call or write to us here at Abounding Grace. 888-504-8805 is our number. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Another way to reach out to us, also learn a bit more about us and who we are, would be through our website, agradio.org. Abounding Grace is also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and links to those sites are, again, at our website, agradio.org. You'll also find recent blogs, vlogs, and other information, as well as past programs, all housed at agradio.org. As we close out our time together today, we also would like to let you know that we do have a special running throughout the series here on the plagues. How to pray. Have you ever found yourself challenged about your prayer life? Wish it could be more than it is? Well, recently, Pastor Chris has gone through a series called How to Pray. It's an amazing series that we are making available on a thumb drive. That's right, a thumb drive for a gift of $15 or more, we'll send this thumb drive your way. It contains all of the messages in this series. Again, on a convenient thumb drive that you can place into just about any device that will take an MP3. Again, for a gift of $15 or more, when you reach out to us, we'll send you this wonderful resource on prayer. Reach out to us again at 888-504-8805 or by writing to us, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264, or drop us an email when you visit us online at agradio.org. Well, let's return to Pastor Chris once again. A sneak peek at tomorrow's program.
They say the church is one generation from extinction. You see what the Lord's saying? Every year, I want you to celebrate the Passover, and on the last day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, when the firstborn was redeemed, the fathers were to sit down, and they were to explain to their children what all of this meant. Look at the Lord here. I want you fathers to talk to your kids. Notice the Lord here. Tell your sons what the Lord did for you. Son, we're celebrating this because it's what the Lord did for me. Here's the personal aspect to this. What the Lord did for me when I came out, it's warm, it's affectionate, sincere, it's personal. It's not just that. It radiates from a deep expression of a believing heart that knows and understands what Christ did for him.
That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then. And until tomorrow, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.